At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And now, the group you've all been waiting for, the Lovers of Five.
Hi, I'm David. And I'd like to tell you about my favorite number, which is the number five. And the number five is my favorite number because it has one straight line here. And then it has a round line on the bottom here. And then it has another line on the top there. I love singing about the number five.
Give me five. Ah, give me five.
Yeah, give me five.
Give me one, two, three, four. Give me five.
Give me one, two, three, four. But if you love me more, give me five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give me five.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Give me five. Hello, everyone. It's your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, welcoming you into a surprise second edition of the 5x5. That's right. You got one on Sunday. Now you're getting one on Tuesday. You, of course, know that the 5x5 is brought to you as a part of the Chair Shot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And kids, today we got a new guy. We got a new guy joining me on the 5x5. He does this little podcast. It's a little mindless. I hear it's quite good, as that is the running reality is that Patrick O'Dowd has not caught an episode of DJ's podcast, the Mindless Wrestling Pod, but he's here. He's here. He's real and he's spectacular. And he is joining me for his first ever visit to the 5x5. DJ, how the hell are you?
Patrick, a little better today. It's been kind of a rough week for personal reasons, but I'm rallying today. Much better.
Good.
Taking time off, doing some hobby stuff. How's your weekend?
Oh, my goodness. So we are recording here on Saturday, November 23rd, and I made DJ wait to record with me this afternoon because I was watching the University of Illinois take on the Rutgers Scarlet Knights in a game that I am still, we are 5 minutes post-game from me watching this. And let me just lay the scene out for you, DJ. My Fighting Illini played what I would describe as possibly the worst football game I have watched them play all season. And, I mean, I'm talking penalties. I'm talking bad plays. I'm talking poor defense, I'm talking bad tackling, I'm talking questionable offensive play calling, I'm talking Illinois up six, blowing a two-minute drill defensive stand against a team that doesn't throw the football because they give up not one, but two damn near 20-yard scrambles to a pocket-passing quarterback because they're not paying attention to receivers. To be down by a point with a minute and 8 seconds to go, to drive to the 46-yard line of Rutgers with one timeout, and the Illini inexplicably call a quarterback design run. So that gains 2 yards. I don't know if we were just trying to catch him napping or what they were thinking. They run this play. Quarterback gets tackled. Forces us to burn our last timeout. We miss 2 throws down the field to get closer into field goal range. You're at a 53-yard field goal attempt. Then your offensive line gets called for a false start penalty, backing them up 5 yards to make it a... DJ, there's more. To making it a 58-yard field goal attempt. They line up for the field goal. The kicker, ball just before the ball gets snapped, Greg Schiano on the Rutgers sideline calls a timeout. Kick goes up and is wide left, like plenty of distance, but it's a swirling wind, wide left. The wind just blows it out of the air. So Illinois head coach Brett Bielema says, fuck it, let's go for it on 4th and 13 with 19 seconds to go. Illinois quarterback Luke Altmyer hits Illinois all Big Ten caliber wide receiver Pat Bryant over the middle at about the Rutgers 15 or 20, which would have been a first down. Bryant doesn't go down, runs it in for the touchdown with 4 seconds left in the game. Illinois wins by 6.
Wow.
I'm a very emotional sports fan. I'm very much, my wife, Mrs. O'Dowd, does not understand. This game was a football game that I watched that my team absolutely did not deserve to win. At all. Like, they committed, I mean, some of the dumbest penalties ever. Like, the drive, one of the drives that led to the Rutgers touchdown, Illinois got them off the field twice, or they should have gotten them off the field twice, and gave up and committed a personal foul late hit that would have got the Illinois offense on the field, back on the field, and then followed that up with a pass interference call on a third down that was an incomplete pass. Like, it was mind-boggling, it was mind-blowing. They did not deserve to win this game. It was as poorly a played football game as the team didn't look prepared. They were terrible. And yet, they are sitting here at 8-3 after this win against a team that should have beat them. Like, they should not have won that game. And so, I am both disappointed and frustrated with my team and over the moon because they won. And I'm over the moon to have you on the show, man. So I'm gonna thank you a second time.
Illini, what do they say? Snatched victory from the jaws of defeat.
They very much so. And Greg Schiano, as the head football coach for Rutgers, has got to be killing himself for calling that timeout, like trying to ice the kicker on a blustery New Jersey day. Like, there was just no reason to call that timeout. The wind gusts were so bad. The wind gusts were up to like 30-some miles an hour. It was going to be incredibly difficult to kick a field goal, but he tried to ice the kicker. And then Illinois said, well, fuck it, we're just going to go for it. So they did, and we won. So fuck it, we're going to go for it is the rule of the day. But folks, we are here for a 5x5. Very excited to do this. One other thing I forgot to mention, you know, prowrestlingtees.com/chairshot. Make sure you head over to that website and invest in a chair shot shirt. The holiday season is upon us. Thanksgiving is on Thursday, which means Black Friday sales are a coming. If they're not over already over there, I bet you there's a promo code already up and on the go because every website is doing it. So head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and invest in a chair shot shirt. Well, I brought DJ, Dave Ungar, who is my co-host for Hockey Talk. He couldn't make the show to do Hockey Talk this week, which is why I then posted to the Bandwagon Nerds chat, hey, does anybody want to do a 5x5? And DJ bravely posted up and was like, well, what's a 5x5? Which I was, you know, I would be more hurt, but I'm like, what's a mindless wrestling pot? So I can't be too hard on you not catching them. And so I got to explain to DJ the concept of a 5x5. You said it sounded pretty cool, and I was like, if you want to do one, I have a topic that's right up your alley. And that topic today, folks, is going to be our 5 best and 5 worst Lord of the Rings characters. And the reason this comes up is because DJ is a part of a small group chat I have with Dave Ungar, where I learned that it's basically become the landing ground for my Lord of the Rings memes, because DJ and Dave are the only two that get the jokes.
It's been fun. Lord of the Rings, before we get into it, this was a tough thing for me to pull off. Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, is probably my favorite set of movies of all time. It's replaced Star Wars as the number one trilogy in my heart and in my life.
Wow.
And this ended up being not so much, in my opinion, best and worst, but favorite and least favorite. But that's not to imply that I don't like the characters. And, you know, I didn't know what criteria we were going on, so I came up with my own. Some of it may have just been the actor/actress's portrayal of the characters in the movie. Some of it may have been how effective or ineffective I felt they were within the confines of the story. And all of that being said, I built this around having only seen the movies. I've never read the books. So everything that I did was based on the movies.
And that's perfectly acceptable and very much what I would expect a lot of folks to put forward within their context of Lord. As much as I would love to believe that there's just a bunch of Tolkien fans out there reading books, smoking pipes, I just know that's not true. I know people are very familiar with the trilogy via the films. And so I absolutely respect it. I love that you love the movies. It's actually a Thanksgiving thing for me, like Thanksgiving Day. I will pop in the Lord of the Rings trilogy to watch the extended editions, because I only watch the extended editions. You only watch the extended editions?
I only have the extended editions. I have
them on
Blu-ray, and about once a year I do the same thing. I do just sit my ass on the couch and I'm there watching the whole thing.
14 hours well spent, if you ask me. It's a mild exaggeration, but hell yeah. So, since you're new to the show, DJ, let me explain to you how this has worked. So as it's the 5x5, we do a 5 best and 5 worst list. Each of us comes up with our 5 names. If you've been on Bandwagon Nerds before and done a list show, or if you've listened to Bandwagon Nerds and heard us do a list show, our rules are very similar to what we do for a list show on Bandwagon Nerds. And that is that we take we go through our list one at a time. We'll alternate turns. The big rule is if one of us has a name higher on the list when it's announced, we just got to give each other a signal or a warning or a heads up, because we pause, and just like we do in Bandwagon Nerds, we cover that name at its highest point on the list. The other thing that we do is that one of us will go first in the first half of the show for the best list, and we always save the worst for last, because we all know the real reason you're here to listen is for the hot takes. You're here for the hot takes. You're here for the list, the worst list, so you can get infuriated over whether or not Patrick O'Dowd's list, which, you know, controversy. Like, I had the audacity with Tunney to diss mac and cheese. So,
That's a hot take, Bubba.
It was a hot take. I explained it very thoroughly. My old man works for Kraft Foods. And so for the longest time, my experience with mac and cheese was Kraft macaroni and cheese, not that home-baked real cheese business. And I've never liked it. Because I've always grown up on homegrown mac and cheese. So that's that. But make sure you listen to that 5x5. It dropped on Sunday. We're here on Tuesday. I always hand it over to the guest to say, which list do you want to kick off? Do you want to kick off the best list, or do you want to kick off the worst list? You have the ball is in your court, DJ. And as the Lord of the Rings guy, I'm excited either way with whichever list you want to kick off.
Well, I won't break tradition. Let's go with the best first.
Okay, so you're gonna be the first one. Oh, we always do the best first, but you're going to be the first person to give a name.
I got you. Okay, I misunderstood you. I apologize.
So does that change your mind?
No, not at all.
All right. Then, sir, The floor is yours. Let's hear your number five best Lord of the Rings character.
Number five best Lord of the Rings character was Galadriel.
Look at that already. We've already got a pause. This could be, we could see this a lot, actually, just knowing you and knowing me. I could see some overlap here. So we're going to hold on Galadriel. We're going to go right into my number five. My number five is Mary Adock Brandybuck, also known as Mary. I'm hearing nothing. So Mary is not on your list. So we'll get to this a little bit later in my worst list. But both my favorite and least favorite duo is the Mary and Pippin duo. And my favorite thing about Mary, particularly in the film trilogy, is that love of adventure and that passion to fight, and particularly his story arc with the Rohirrim, as the warrior soldier of Theoden King, that he offers up his sword, that he and Eowyn are teamed up together to throughout that film, and just the passion of the attitude with which that character is portrayed on the screen, that love of adventure, but more so the maturing and the loss of innocence that both Merry and Pippin go through, but to see where it happens with Merry. Like, Merry is ready to grow up and face responsibility far sooner than Pippin. And I've always loved Merry. He's the one who starts getting people in trouble, but at the end of the day, he's also the one, as the trilogy goes forward, is the one who starts to see that, you know, we've got a different role in this world that we have to take. So Merry is my number five.
Adding to that, one thing that I really liked about Merry, he didn't make either one of my lists, neither did Pippin, but I really liked the sense of older brotherly love that he had and the protective nature that he had of Pippin. He understood that Pippin was still very childlike, still very immature to the larger world, and he was very protective of him over that. I love that little nuance of the story.
It was actually, it's wonderful. He's great, and it's why he's one of my favorites, because he goes from, you know, in sort of the prologue part of Fellowship of the Ring, where he's like, you know, they steal the firework and they let it off, and he's like, that was awesome, let's get another one, to why did you look? Why do you always look? Don't you understand? The enemy thinks you have the ring. It's such a change, and he wants to fight, and he's just so emotional about it. So that was my number five. My number four follows that up, Eowyn. I'm going to give you a second. Eowyn not on your list?
Eowyn is on one of my lists. It's not this list.
Oh, shenanigans. I love it. So I left another character off of this, off a female character off of this list entirely, but she would have been my backup on my worst. And I hate her so much that right now all I can see is Liv Tyler's face, and I'm turning red with rage.
She's on my worst list. Let me leave that out there.
And the reason why I get so mad is because when you really look at the time with which Tolkien was writing Lord of the Rings, Eowyn was such a rare character in that she's a much stronger female character than she's portrayed in the movies. You know, she is a shield maiden of Rohan. She knows how to fight. She does defy Theoden King's orders in order to fight. And she is the killer of the Witch King of Angmar. And she's less whiny in the books. But, like, she's the powerful female character that I needed. I didn't need fucking Liv Tyler. I didn't need her. Eowyn's my girl. I love her. And, you know, the tragic crush on Aragorn notwithstanding, you know, finding Faramir eventually, and you know, and their love story, again, their love story is much more well-developed in the books. Their love story is not, oh, hey, you look pretty good, how about I just go with you instead? Like, it's just not like that.
And again, we're kind of tripping over to the worst one. I don't want to get too deep into my worst list just yet. She's on the list for reasons. And we'll go there later.
Yeah, all right. Well, then that's my number four, and we're on to your number four best.
My number four may be a little bit of a hot take. I am a big fan of tragic, unfortunate characters. My number four is Gollum. Just being this horribly, I don't even really know how to put it into words. He's such a victim of his environment and a victim of the ring. And he was so innocent and gullible, and he was exactly what the ring would search for. And to go from being this basically hobbit-like, you know, predecessor to what he, you know, unfortunately was dragged into. And I thought the movies portrayed not necessarily like a redemption arc, but and some of this had to do with, and his name fell right out of my head, the actor.
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis' portrayal really gave that character a lot of depth and a lot of heart. And it's much more relatable than the Gollum that was in the, late 70s animated feature. I don't know if you ever saw that one.
Oh, the Rankin and Bass classic?
The Rankin Bass ones, of course you did.
I've seen both The Hobbit, Return of the King, and the Bashir weird rotoscoping animated Lord of the Rings. Come on, who are you talking to?
So it's part of it was Andy Serkis' portrayal of Gollum and how at certain times there's the duality of the character. There's still the innocence buried in there, and there's still the evil on the other side. Just absolutely brilliant work. And again, this was one of those ones where the actor made the character more relatable for me.
Hey, wonderful choice. I'm not going to argue that he was not on my best or worst. So you get a win from me. I like it. We will run with that.
All right.
And just like all that, right. we are to your number three.
My number three was Faramir. His story arc, trying to gain his father's approval. I think a lot of people can relate to that. He's very brave. He's cautiously brave. And I haven't read the books. I don't know if you have, but my understanding in the books was, and they don't explore this in the movie, is that he really wanted to be a wizard.
And yeah, he was so desperate for a wizard,
and his father didn't approve.
Right.
So, gosh, who can't relate to that? Like, you choose a path in life that is different from what your parents have envisioned for you. And, you know, on generationally, we do that. We look at our kids and we say, you know what? I want that kid to play football one day, or I want that kid to be a doctor. Well, then they go off and be a rock star, or they go off and be, you know, an artist or something like that. So very, very relatable character. And I really felt like he was somebody that I identified with to a certain degree.
Right. No, I love me some Faramir, and I really, if we could have done a top 10 list, Faramir is on that list. I'm also very passionate about this because Faramir, you know, ends up with Eowyn as this power couple that then sort of unites Gondor with, Rohan. Like that unity between those two countries of men is because of their marriage. Like that sort of moves things forward with Aragorn ruling in Gondor.
And I don't know if it explored this in the books, but I know in the movies he resisted the allure of the ring. You know, he does.
He turns down the ring
off of Frodo, and he, you know, in contrast to his brother who succumbed to it. He, you know, managed to fend it off. And I found that to be very, you know, very,
it's very much a reminder of, cause there's another character that he parallels that with too, who was resistant to the ring in a way that's special and meaningful. But yeah, part of the point is that Faramir should have been the one sent by his father and was not. And Boromir, who is a good character. And I actually love Boromir quite a bit because all he wants to do, much like it is described in the movies, is protect his people. And when he succumbs to the ring is seducing him with the idea of him being a conquering hero. That's why that monologue that we get when Boromir talks to Aragorn, why that happens. Where he's talking about the sons of Gondor have returned. It's because he really does truly see the ring as an opportunity and weapon to fight off the forces of Mordor. and unfortunately it corrupts him to the point. Eventually, he sacrifices himself for everyone, but Faramir showed that he was resistant to the ring's power and that he didn't want that. He didn't want that. He wasn't interested in that, which is why he was better suited for it.
Right.
So, all right, that moves into my number three. My number three is Gimli, Gimli the dwarf. And okay. Here, I'm just a little background. I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. I fucking love playing dwarves. Gimli's the reason I love playing dwarves. Like John Rhys Davies, first of all, is an American or is a British treasure, classically trained actor, wonderful human being. You other folks might remember him as Sala from the Indiana Jones movies, but Gimli, and you know he's played up for comic relief in the movies, but in the books. And they give him some of these moments in the books. You know, dwarf, he is this wonderful bridge in the mistrust between dwarves and elves. And him and his relationship and his bond with Legolas goes long past the Lord. They journey together into the undying or into the world. Like I don't think they go to the Undying Lands, but they end up being a partnership forever. It's, you know, and it's not, and it's just a bonds of friendship. There's nothing queer about it. Like a lot of people try to queer bait it. It's not. It's very much like these are two brothers in arms who, you know, famously in the book have this competition that's brought up in the Two Towers and then again in Return of the King where they're going back and forth on the number of kills. It's much more evenly matched the way it's described in the book than it is in the movies. But he also has these moments like when he sees Galadriel for the first time. And he's so moved by her that he wants nothing else from the elves other than other than a strand of hair from her hair that he then keeps and braids amongst his own. He falls in love with Galadriel, like he falls in love with her, and he's just awesome. And I love Gimli to death. He's easily obviously one of my favorite characters in Lord of the Rings. And,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
No, and like I said, he's just a terrific bridge character between the elves and the dwarves.
I absolutely agree with you. Gimli was a hard one to leave off the list. Like I said, this was actually tougher for me to do because I had a tougher time putting together my best list because I loved him for all those reasons. Yeah, he was a bit of the comedy relief sidekick, but the serious moments with him are really, really good. And yeah, John Rhys Davies, what a treasure. And if you look up his IMDb, there are, in his mind, there are no bad roles. There are only bad actors. That dude right. will sign up for anything. If it's a B movie on sci-fi on a Saturday night or a mega blockbuster like Lord of the Rings, he just doesn't turn down work. And I adore that.
Yeah. And deservedly so. So I, yes, hats off to Gimli. So that's my number three. Have you given your number three?
I did. It was Faramir.
So that moves to our number two, which is Galadriel, the Lady of the Lord of the Rings. And I will also say, Cate Blanchett, in the land of perfect casting, and to be real, Peter Jackson and the people and the casting folks for the Lord of the Rings films fucking nailed it with just about everybody. But I would argue that Galadriel is like the peak. She is the top. She is elven perfection personified. And she is just straight up amazing. And when she has that deep, she has a deep commanding voice that just belies her appearance. And it's such gravity. She's barely in these movies, right? Like she's barely in them. She's in all three of them, but it's like barely. But it's terrific every time. And so Galadriel was my number two. I know it was your number five. So talk about Galadriel a little bit before you go into your number two.
For all the things that you mentioned, she has this very just fair and I don't want to say dainty because she's very statuesque, but just her fair appearance, again, like you said, is belied by this powerful commanding voice. Like I always say, if I'm in a room full of people and I heard, we'll say Galadriel, in that voice, if I heard her talking, that is the only voice in that room I would hear. because of how commanding it was. And it was such an, not only the look, but the performance from Cate Blanchett was just, I mean, she's amazing anyway, and just about anything I've seen her in. But putting all the parts and pieces together, yeah, how could you not have her on in your top five?
No, you can't. You just can't. So right. That's my number two. Your number two, sir?
Gandalf. And I know that sounds very cliche, but he, and again, it's Ian McKellen's, it's the portrayal here. It's the portrayal. It's the gentle nature, but also strong when he needs to be, you know, when he's strong with Bilbo at the beginning of the movie, you know, about the ring, but also very kind, very warm, very gentle, very, when he realizes what's going on, realizes that his friend has been corrupted by the ring. You know, he's gentle where he needs to be. And really the kind of the emotional narrator of the film, in my eyes. He really right. kind of keeps the narration going, in even when he's not in the scenes. You know, you're thinking during that time, okay, what is Gandalf doing, or what would Gandalf do if he were here in this particular scene? So, yeah, for all the cliched reasons, Gandalf is my number two character.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I love that Ian McKellen was built for this role. He really was. And so, just a terrific portrayal of a character you're actually going to hear about in the next segment of the show again.
Oh, okay.
Controversy. I will go into my whys in a second, but sure. Or in the, you know, when it comes up, but. Excellent choice for a number two. I can't really argue against it. What's your number one, sir?
Number one was Samwise.
How He's about three. That? He's my number one as well.
Right.
So you go ahead and go first.
He's the emotional glue of the entire film. He really is. He's so loyal in every single aspect to Frodo, loyal to the mission, loyal to the Shire, loyal to the realm. He really is, you know, in his just his convictions. He's very strong, very innocent about certain things, very worldly about others. And again, because I'm thinking too fast, the actor, Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Sean Astin. What a wonderful portrayal. And again, another guy, he doesn't take a lot of roles, but the roles that he's taken in his career have been powerful, meaningful, and important to my life growing up. And, you know, but yeah, Samwise, and again, another one who resisted the temptation of the ring. And I think that's important in how his dynamic was with Frodo, because he watched Frodo succumb. And
right.
he was able to, you know, my favorite scene in the whole movie, he's like, I can't carry it, but I can carry you. And he picks Frodo up and starts climbing Mount Doom with him over his shoulders. Even now, goosebumps, just thinking about the scene.
Right. One of the greatest debates that I have with a lot of folk, and this is with other Lord of the Rings fans, and as somebody who has read the trilogy, has seen the movies, I argue not only that Sam could resist the ring, Sam should have been the ring bearer. And I argue about this all the time. And the greatest moment in the books that they give a nod to in the movie, but it's not the moment in the book, is Sam's temptation with the ring. Because when Sam has the ring and does the Murderbot run through the tower when, you know, with the help of orcs fighting amongst themselves and killing each other. Right. But he does go through and do his own to Murderbot his way to the top of the tower and save Frodo after capture. He has a moment where the whole, at the, if you remember at the end of Two Towers, in the movie, they're taking a walk and Samwise talks about, I wonder if they'll talk about us in stories. You know, that somebody will talk about Frodo and how he's the most famousest of hobbits. And Frodo is like, what about his friend, Samwise the Brave? Frodo wouldn't have gotten very far without him. And Frodo, and, you know, and then Sam is very humble and very much like, oh, no, don't be making fun, you know, Mr. Frodo. And he does the whole thing. In the book, and they do this actually in the Rankin and Bass Lord of the Rings Return of the King film as well, Sam has a full-on vision given to him by the ring of him sitting astride a war pony, bedecked in armor, as Samwise the Brave, the Mighty, using the power of the ring to be the great hero and unifier of the realm. And he has this vision, and he literally is like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever imagined. And puts it, it's a terrific moment in the book. And it is, it's proof. And it's to me, it's that scene where I'm like, you know, he was in the presence of the ring the whole time and he never once makes a move to take it from Frodo. It's only Gollum's machinations and deceit and Frodo succumbing to the poison of the ring. But it, like, Sam is completely resistant to it at all times. He doesn't, and partially probably because he doesn't see it as his task, but it's also because he's so freaking humble. And he doesn't care about such things that he gets that he can see it through to the end and literally carry Frodo to the top of Mount Doom at the end. And so Sam, far and away, is my number one character in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I think a lot of people's favorite character in the Lord of the Rings trilogy for that reason. So excellent number one. A united number one in the Lord of the Rings 5x5. Which leads us to our first commercial break. And when we come back, we are going to go into the second part, and I'm going to kick us off with the worst Lord of the Rings characters, according to us. You are listening to the 5x5 here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back into the 5x5 here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Patrick O'Dowd, DJ, giving you our five best and five worst Lord of the Rings characters, mostly based on the movies, a little bit from me based on the books. I didn't tell this, we didn't say this at the start of the podcast, but the parameters really was we could have said Middle Earth, because I allowed you to include The Hobbit if you want to. I feel like that's very important, because I did include one character from The Hobbit in my five worst when we get to it. So I just want to make sure that it's clear when it's out there. But we've given you the best. We always save the worst for last because, DJ, this is where the clicks come in. This is what people want to hear. This is why we're here. And so I'm very excited to explain why I don't like all of these characters. And you might have to rein me in, okay? Because I can be a little ranty when it comes to the worst.
Right. When it goes too far, I'll pull you back in. We'll get there.
All right. Well, I get to go first, and I'm going to lead off with the other half of the Merry and Pippin tag team, and that's Pippin. I fucking hate Pippin. I can't stand his naive dumbass walking into every stupid problem, from knocking the goblin skeleton down a well to looking at the Palantir and everything in between. That dumbass gets him into all of the trouble, and we got to pull him out. And it's Merry pulling his fat out of the fire. It's stupid. And damn it, Pippin, you dumb. You dumb. He's less, I will say this, he's a little less dumb in the books. But he's still, as Gandalf will say, a fool of a Took. And it drives me crazy. I hate him. I hate him. Yep. So much.
He almost made my list. Like, he really was number five. And, you know, before I get into number five and four, those two were, five and four for me were really difficult because they're not even characters that I hate. I just had to find two characters that I liked the least. And the two that I chose,
fair,
I liked just a little bit less than I liked Pippin, because I, part of me felt a bit of pity for his innocence and his naivety. And I think that he probably has a place in my heart because of that. Also, he does show a bit of bravery when he finally goes to light the pyres to alert Rohan. And
yeah, I mean, and that's not the only moment, too. Like, he, you right. know, he's the one who steps up in Fellowship. Like, he's actually the one that leads the charge in the distraction after Boromir gets shot, and, you know, yes. with the arrows. Like, he's the first one who picks it up, and then they both charge. But he's a dumbass. I just hate that he's a dumbass. I hate that he's so dumb. He's a plot device to move shit along, and that just drives me crazy.
Yeah, I can't argue that.
Right. What's your number five, my friend?
This one was on your best list. It's Eowyn. And only because, and again, I'm just going strictly on the movies. Yes, there was the moment at the end. She joins the Rohirrim. She rides off to war. She slays... You know, all the things, okay?
The Witch King of Angmar. The Witch King of Angmar. Much.
Yes, she does all that. But the... I hate love triangles in movies. And it felt so unnecessary that she kind of felt shoehorned in. And to me, it was the character, not the actress. The actress was phenomenal. Like, she was really, really good. And I felt everything from her. And she can't cook. That's a big thing for me. If you can't cook a good stew, I you're already on my naughty list for that. So,
that's a good one.
Very, very petty reasons.
I appreciate you.
Number five.
That's fine. That's fine. I love her as a shield maiden of Rohan. I just love her desire to fight. Like, I love that piece of it. So, I get why others say, if you can't make a good stew, and for those of you who don't know, watch the extended edition. It'll help explain it. Excellent number five. Who's your number four?
Number four, and again, this was one I hated to put on the list because I actually liked the character, was Boromir. Poor Boromir.
Aww.
This one was a tough one, and I probably should have swapped out him and Pippin, but I didn't. I loved that he was very protective of his brother, but he should have stood up to his dad more. Like, there's a moment in the very beginning of one of them, when they first introduce them, and, you know, his father's, you know, singing his praises, Boromir's won the day, and, you know, Boromir's like, well, Faramir was victorious too, and so he tries, but I don't think he tries hard enough. I think there's at some point he should have grabbed his nuts, stood up a little bit more sternly to his father. He did not, and that, again, shows some of his natural weakness. You know, his father props him up as this mythical figure of strength and masculinity, and really he was weaker than his brother was because he succumbs to the will of the ring. The ring finds him, and he's like, oh yeah, I got a sucker right here, and he pulls it out of him. So unfortunately, as much as I love the tragedy of Boromir's life,
right,
he ended up on my list for those reasons.
Hey, that's fair. That is very fair to see. And again, it's so tough because I think Boromir does get such a bad rap with because he tries to take the ring. But he dies with honor. And I think that's the thing that's always so important to me, is that he dies with honor. Also, got to give a nod to everyone's favorite actor to die in the series, Sean Bean. Like, if you see Sean Bean in a movie, he's going to die. He's just going to die.
I send you over on the app formerly known as Twitter that actually breaks all that
down. He's died so many times. Funny. I mean, he was a Bond villain even. Like, it's great. So, all right, that's your number four. You ready for some controversy? You ready for some controversy? Fuck Gandalf.
I had a feeling that was coming.
Fuck Gandalf and his manipulations and his, ooh, I just so happened to blah, blah, blah. He got stoned and didn't know the ring was in his presence. The fuck, man. Anytime it gets a little hairy for the hobbitses, he just goes off and hangs out with some eagles or something. Oh, I'm sorry, Frodo. I was delayed. No, you weren't delayed. You were a dumbass. You're a sucker. Your staff gets broken by said Witch King of Angmar. You what? You fought the Balrog of Murkoth? That's it? Good that you smote his ruin on the mountainside. I'm jealous that you get to ride the coolest horse in all of Lord of the Rings. Shadowfax is better than you. You don't deserve Shadowfax. What did you do? You know what you did? You just show up. Like, you're not there doing anything. You know, like, you didn't kill Sauron. You don't even lead the armies. You're just the guy on the side that everybody's like, ooh, look at you and your gray little hat and your little staff and blah, blah, blah. And you insult everybody. You insult everybody because you act like you're better than them, but you know what you do? Fucking nothing. You just stand around and get your ass beat. That's what you did. Fuck you, Gandalf. Number four, Gandalf.
I wasn't even going to reel him in on this one because I was waiting to see where this rant was going, and I got to say I enjoyed it. I thought it was great, and I can't argue a single point you made. You know, he was on my best list for reasons, but I can't argue a single point, because if you really, really look at what everybody else is doing, Gandalf was fucking useless.
He's the puppet master.
Aside from gaslighting everybody into this quest, right. he's fucking useless.
And he's been the puppet master since The Hobbit, showing up on poor Bilbo's door, making him do shit like... Not
you,
cool,
you love
man.
How he invited 12 people into Bilbo's house.
Right. What the fuck, man? But you know what? It's cool. It's cool because he's Gandalf. He's got a pointy hat and a staff. Anyway.
He's got good pipe weed.
Right. Well, he likes the hot. His love of the halfling's leaf has clearly dulled his senses. Fucking pothead. That's who Gandalf is. Gandalf's your stoner buddy dropout friend from high school. Just being like, man, you know what we should do? Man, we should go get that ring and fucking throw it in the fire. Like, that should be what we do, man. Totally dope. Probably has a shop in Northampton, Massachusetts selling weed. It's legal now, man.
Gandalf to Spicoli.
Word. All right, my number three. Speaking of The Hobbit, if there's a character I all time can't stand but love at the same time, it's Lee Pace. Playing Thranduil, the wood elven king in The Hobbit. Have you seen The Hobbit movies?
I have, yes. I have those on the extended ones on
Legolas's dad.
Yeah.
Who is just the biggest douche who ever douched when douching was such a thing to douche and douche. Like, he's a greedy, angry, bitter man. And I hate him. In the movies, but I also love Lee Pace's portrayal of him, because Lee Pace, by the way, is awesome for crazy character actors. Like, you need a crazy character actor? Lee Pace. Line him up. Let's get it done. And Thranduil is no exception. He also has the worst line in all of the Hobbit trilogy. Actually, no, I'm sorry. The line before it is the worst, when, Evangeline Lilly's character... is like, why does it hurt? Because she fell in love with a dwarf. Never happens in The Hobbit, by the way. Noel fell in love with a dwarf in The Hobbit. And she didn't even want that story. But, we got to make it happen. But then Lee Pace is all like, because it was real. And it's like, stupid. Go ride your fucking elk and get out of here, Thranduil. That's my number three.
I wish I had included him on the list. And I didn't even... I know you told me I could take The Hobbit into consideration. But I kind of built this list. And what an asshole.
His douchebaggery knows no limit. No, his douchebaggery knows no limit.
Lee Pace for a minute, because what makes this character so good at being bad is the overacting on display. And he did the same thing as in Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
The part to deliciousness. Like,
yes, when he's Ronan the Accuser. You call me boy. Love that shit. Love that
absolutely
shit.
Incredible.
But so
he was a fucking asshole.
This is like, it's so funny because it's like, I'm like, you're the worst, but I kind of love you, but you're the worst, to quote. All right, sir, you're number three. Who you got?
Number three was Arwen. What a fucking mate. And oh my God, for all the reasons that you spotlighted earlier on, she drove me nuts. And she was absolutely useless throughout the whole movie. Like, she had one scene where she did something, and that's when she, you know, took Frodo to go get him healed after he got sick. But beyond that, I had no emotional connection to the character whatsoever in the movie.
You mean Statue Liv Tyler?
Yes.
Statue Liv Tyler. So boring.
Yes.
Here's why I'm particularly pissed about Arwen. And I left her off the list intentionally because it's not Liv Tyler's fault. But it is clear to me that when the scriptwriters were reviewing what they needed to do, they were like, okay, we have this character who, you know, is in love with Aragorn and Aragorn's in love with her. We have Liv Tyler cast. We need her to have some shit to do. Let's take shit that was done by other people in the books and give it to Arwen. And that whole scene where she carries Frodo off and rescues him because he's, you know, poisoned, that wasn't Arwen. That was a completely different character in the book. That scene where she's doing all the magical, mystically shit in the river, and then the horse river comes and wipes out the ring wraiths.
Right.
That was done by Elrond and Gandalf, not Arwen. And so part of me disliking Arwen also has to do with me being the book nerd, snapping, being like, that didn't happen. That didn't happen.
No,
that's not what fucking happened. Shit. But it's bullshit. And in the book, she is such a byline in the book. It's like Aragorn looks off at this elven maiden and she looks sad and he looks sad too. And then at the end of the trilogy, oh, they got married. The end. Like, that's it. That's it. She's not an important character. And they made her an important character because Hollywood. So,
yeah,
I feel you 1,000% with Arwen at your number three.
Number three.
So that leads you to your number two.
My number two. Wormtongue. Wormtongue. Just what a dirt low character. So snide, just conniving and just disgusting.
Which is why he's so awesome. Late is the hour. Here's the other thing is, was it Stephen Dorff? Is that who plays? Stephen Dorff. Or Dourif?
Dourif.
Yes. He's fantastic as Wormtongue.
Oh, he is. He's wonderful.
And he makes you hate him. Like, he makes you hate him. But as a character, like, I love it. He's a teller of lies. He was perfect. And his little creep factor, the way he, like, is all about wanting to get a little piece of Eowyn, like, forcing Eomer out of the house. Like, sign me up. Stephen Dourif nailed it. But I get why you hate it. Still there?
You're number two, sir. That's all I had for that.
Sorry, I didn't know if you had more to... All right, my number four is Hael Denethor, son of Ichthalion.
That's on my number one.
Okay, so we'll hold on to my number one. Or we'll hold off on that until we get to your number one. My number one, you ready for it again?
Yeah.
Fuck Frodo Baggins.
You'll get no argument from me.
That guy, we talked about Gandalf. Gandalf's a shitster, right? Like, when I'm in the bandwagon nerds chat every once in a while, Tunny, in response to something that I write, would put a little dude stir in the pot. That's Gandalf. Frodo is a self-absorbed, dumbass piece of shit who can't fight worth anything, gets stabbed left and right. The whole driving story of Fellowship of the Ring is, where's Frodo and how do we save him? Stabbed by a troll. No, Frodo, no! Frodo running off on his own. Frodo gathering woods, trying to run away. Frodo, oh, it's my burden. I have to carry it. Then we got to do the same thing all over again in the fucking, Two Towers. Mr. Frodo? Frodo? Mr. Frodo? We're always looking for fucking Frodo. He's getting stabbed. He's getting punctured by spiders. He's getting kicked all over the place. And then, to top it all off, in Return of the Kings, he fails and says, the ring is mine, puts it on, and if not for a Gollum, who is the true hero here, biting his finger off and joyfully being shoved off a cliff into the fiery mountain doom. We fail. We fail. Frodo is not a hero. Frodo is a piece of trash. Frodo did not deserve to go to the Undying Lands. Frodo is worthless, and fuck you, Frodo.
Well, there you have it, folks. He went off on another tear that I could not stop. I agree with you. I mean, a very whiny character, very unfortunately necessary, but also unnecessary, because if he hadn't had Sam with him, this movie would have been about 7 hours long between the three of them.
Absolute worst.
So, yeah, no, you get no argument from me there. I mean, I loved Elijah Wood's portrayal, but brilliant piece of business on his part. But, yeah, I can understand every reason why you hate that guy the way you do.
Oh, 1,000%. And that leads us to our final number one in character we'll talk about, our shared character on this list. Hail Denethor, son of Ichthalion, steward of Gondor. Just another overall, all-around dick, played by the great John Noble, tries to set himself and his son on fire, even though, I'm not dead, I feel happy, not dead. And then, oh, sorry, Pippin bravery, like Pippin does shove, you know, young Faramir off of the fire and put him out. That was nice. But for the moment you're introduced to Denethor in the extended edition of The Two Towers, you know that everything about this guy is he's a shit stain on the world and needs to go.
Oh, he's an absolute piece of shit human. In your introduction of him, I would have tailed at the end of that, overall piece of shit human. He's a piece of shit father. He's a piece of shit steward. He's a piece of shit human. You know, he manipulates Pippin. He manipulates everyone into thinking that he should sit on the throne. And he's rather ineffectual as a leader, if we're being honest.
Yes. Flee for your lives. Like, he's ready to
fucking run. Gets rough. As they say, when the going gets rough, the rough get going right off a cliff.
I will say, in this film, so when I cry at films all the time. I'm very emotionally invested in films. And Lord of the Rings is no exception. I remember I went to the midnight showing of Lord of the Rings. I ditched a final in grad school. I took a break from a final in grad school to go see Return of the King. And I remember sitting in the theater waiting for the moments that were going to make me tear up. And the moment that got me that I was not ready for, John Noble had a big part in creating when he forces Faramir to lead the charge to retake Osgiliath, and he orders Pippin to sing the traveling song while he eats. And it's so soul-crushing as you listen to Billy Boyd sing this song beautifully while John Noble, in his rage over the death of his preferred son, sends his other to die, feeling that is an act of honor. And it's heartbreaking. And that song is so well delivered. Tears. I had tears in my eyes in that moment. It was so good. And John Noble had a lot to do with that.
Denethor the asshole. Amazing.
Yes.
I don't know if you ever watched Fringe, but
I fucking love Fringe. It's on Max. It's on Max. You can watch it on Max if you want. I love Fringe so much. It was one of those shows I was like, please don't cancel it. Please don't cancel it. Please. Because you knew it was going to get canceled. And it was so far ahead of its time. And John Noble is a big part of that. But
every reason why I watched it. So yeah, that scene, again, I don't think I teared up like you did. it did get me when he, right before his end, Gandalf called the shot earlier. He said he'll remember before it's all said and done.
Right.
That final moment before he runs out on fire, he realizes this is my son too. And
yes.
Faramir is who he is. And it's just that it's not a full redemption because you never feel any redemption for the guy. And I certainly am.
Right.
I you know, stood and applauded when he fell off the top of the top of the castle. But there's
so passes Denethor, son of Ichthyllion.
Yes.
So. Also, just some of the subtle greatness that is the special effects. Denethor running off of the tower and falling, and the force of the wind fanning and putting out the flames as he falls to his death is chef's kiss. I love it.
The effects on those movies still hold up.
Oh God, they really do. The first time they ride up on Gondor, you want to talk about another moment that got me? Like, I remember I was sitting next to my friend, I think his name is Brian. That may not be right. But I'm sitting next to him, and we're watching this movie, and I just lean over to him, and I'm like, this is beautiful. As he goes up on the White City of Gondor.
Right.
Like, it's amazing. So, all right, there you have it, everybody. Our number ones. Both of us had Sam as the best character in The Lord of the Rings. Samwise Gamgee, rightfully earned. I had Frodo Baggins as my worst, and DJ had Denethor, son of Ichthyllion, lord and steward of Gondor, as his worst. Both worthy worst characters. And that's going to do it for this edition of the 5x5. Before we get out of here, DJ, tell everybody where they can find you on the socials if you'd like, and how they can listen to you on a podcast or two.
You can hear me, Rob, and Jason on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We drop every Saturday. You can find me on the shithole formerly known as Twitter at the Mindless Pod. I made the jump over to Blue Sky. I do scale modeling, and I'm trying to promote my scale modeling side hustle over there. That's
okay.
At DJ Models, DEEJAY, Models, MODELS. That's at the Blue Sky app.
DJ Models?
Yeah, DJ Models.
I'm adding you right now.
All right.
Follow. Patrick O'Dowd is also on Blue Sky and the X Twitter and a lot of the other socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. That's going to do it for this edition of the 5x5. Hope you all enjoyed it. Love Lord of the Rings. Great time. DJ, thank you so much for coming on this show. It's always a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed putting this list together. I hope you enjoyed doing the show with me today, man.
I did. I'm really glad you reached out. I had missed out on every podcast, ditched two podcasts. I lost my voice on Wednesday. I'm still getting back. So I ditched my own podcast. I had two others I was invited on. So I haven't podcasted all week. And when you threw that out there, I'm like, damn it, I want to talk with somebody about something. Lord of the Rings is up my alley. And you and I, even when we're butting heads over certain topics, we always have good conversation. So I enjoyed it today, sir. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for listening. That's going to do it for the 5x5. Catch you next time. I don't know when it'll be, because these are always kind of random drops when we need a show. So hope you enjoy it. Hope you all look forward to the next one. And don't forget, everyone, fuck Frodo Baggins.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.